Tonight we're wanting to dedicate the Steinway piano after an 18-month restoration project. I thank the Lord that it was returned to us in one piece. I called over to Reynolds Music on the Thursday before it was delivered, and I said, I believe that there supposed to be a rainstorm in the area. Would you please move it to Friday? And they said, well, it's looking fairly good. I said, sir, we're not going to take any chances. I've been around pianos long enough. I was in charge of working at the concert center when Eric was there at Bob Jones. I worked the concert center, and we were responsible for taking the Busendorfer piano, which was a very large piano. It was intended to go to the Met, and it was damaged, returned to Germany. Bob Jones was able to purchase it, bring it back to the United States, and they were able to get it. And there were special rules for that piano. And I can remember with sweat on my brow as we were moving that from one building to the other, but just waiting for that almost $100,000 piano for something to go wrong. You don't want that to happen, especially on your watch. But we thank the Lord that He returned our piano to us. And I want to share with you tonight the history of this piano. And I've asked the Lord to give me wisdom. I wanted to do it in an interesting way, as opposed to just dry bones, facts, and things of that nature. I want to kind of share with you and give you a kind of a time period or time frame of thinking when this piano was built. The historical journey of our Steinway piano. The year was 1911. It was a busy year with lots of new things. U.S. explorer Hiram Bingham had just discovered the Incan city of Machu Picchu. Roald Amundsen became the first man to reach the South Pole. They used the airplane for the very first time as an offensive weapon during the Turkish-Italian War. Marie Curie of France received the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for her discovery of radium and polonium. A little-known British physicist by the name of Ernest Rutherford discovered the structure of an invisible particle called an atom. These two discoveries in 1911 would in 30 years change the world forever. In America, the Philadelphia A's defeated the New York Giants 4-2 in the World Series. Princeton and Penn State were the two NCAA football champions because in those days there were two conferences. They didn't have a national championship. William H. Taft was president of the United States. The country's population was 93,863,000. It's nearly 400 million today. Unemployment was 6.7%. All of the federal spending for the United States of America was $69 billion. And the cost of a postage stamp was 2 cents. At the turn of the century, there were 200 American companies manufacturing pianos. By 1911, dramatic changes in society had taken place. The home and the piano were no longer the central place of family entertainment. Bazaars, Barnum and Bailey, state fairs, and the appearance of moving pictures reduced the number of orders for pianos. Piano companies dropped from a total of 200 to only 9 by 1911. And the total number of pianos produced in the United States dropped from its peak of 364,545 in 1909 to a little over 295,000 in 1911. 1911 was the first year for a feature-length silent film produced in California. The Steinway & Sons Piano Company had been in business since 1836. The Steinways immigrated from Germany to America in 1850, where they took up residence on Hester Street, Manhattan. By 1860, the Steinways had built an enormous block-long factory on what is now Park Avenue and 53rd Street, prime property, a site that happened to be an ideal location for advertising. The Harlem and New Haven Railroad passed directly in front of the factory at the time, and passengers could not miss the logo, Steinway and Sons, just before the train pulled in to Grand Central Station. In 1866, Steinway Hall was opened, which became the major concert facility in New York City, until it was superseded by Carnegie Hall. The Steinways also entered into the field of artist management and brought their very first major European pianist to America, Anton Rubinstein, in 1872. By 1871, Steinway began to move its manufacturing operations to Long Island, where wood could more easily be unloaded from incoming ships. It seemed only natural for the company to build a village for its workers there as well. Though the village is now gone, the company's main manufacturing plant remains in Astoria, Queens, New York. Steinway also has a plant in Hamburg, Germany. Building the Steinway Model O that sits right here in our auditorium. Inside the huge Steinway factory located on Long Island, piano craftsmen began work on the rim of a Model O piano that sits in our church building tonight. The finest woods from around the world were used to build its frame. The woods used in this piano had been harvested in 1910 and cured for a period of a year in the vast lumber yard where more than 1 million board feet of wood were carefully stacked for maximum exposure to a year's cycle of rain, sun, wind, and snow. When the wood reached a 17% moisture content, it was put into the kilns, which dried it out to about 5 to 6%. The first dramatic step in transforming the wood into a piano is known as rim bending, a process by which straight boards are coaxed into the smooth curves of a grand piano. The rim of the piano is similar to the foundation of a house. It contains the rest of the materials used and determines the size and shape of the piano. A board 2 inches thick is impossible to bend. The piano rim, therefore, is an aggregate of several quarter-inch laminations of hard maple. 6 to 8 of these laminations are painted with glue and squared up into what they call a book. While the glue is still wet, this book is then lifted by a crew of 5 men and wrapped around a rim-bending machine patented by the Steinway Company. Clamps are then used to hold the bent wood into the shape of a grand piano. A high-frequency generator was used to dry the glue in a matter of 20 minutes. Unlike the cooked hoof and hide glue of the 1800s, the newer glues were used in the rim of our piano. Once the rim was ready, the Sitka or European spruce soundboard, a carefully planned and elegantly tapered floor that lies under the strings, was joined to the rim. The soundboard is created like that of violins to give a free and even response throughout the scales. It was so constructed as to be 9 millimeters thick in the center and tapered outward to 6 millimeters as it approached the rim and outer case. The soundboard was followed by an iron frame that must withstand, now get this, a pressure of 18 tons, which is the aggregate pull of the piano's 230 strings. These three parts must last as long as the instrument. Next, steel wires, which, like the metal frame and metal piano pedals, were not handcrafted, were strung by hand on the frame and gradually tightened to their required pitch with a specially designed pin block, which would hold its tuning longer than most pianos of its time. While only one string is needed for the lower range, the upper register of notes requires 3 strings per note to assure the evenness of tone from one end of the piano to the other. Meanwhile, the action, which includes the keys, the hammers, and intervening parts, are assembled on a separate frame. This mechanism contained a multitude of parts, many of which were made of tiny bits of wood and felt. The original piano keys were made of ivory. In 1957, Steinway & Sons switched to plastic, a patented plastic, which did not yellow, crack, or curl. After the piano was completed, it was sent to a whole series of fine craftsmen who adjusted the dampers and voicing so that each key produced the best possible tone. The felt heads of the 88 hammers that strike the piano strings must be perfectly shaped and perfectly resilient and must strike the string at precisely the right place or an improper tune is struck. The final stage was the tuning of the instrument. Multiple tunings were required to bring the strings to their proper tightness and tonal quality. Humidity, temperature, and sunlight are all the enemies of the piano. To reduce the possibility of damage, special humidity-sensitive packing was used to seal the piano for delivery or for storage. Our piano was completed on August the 21st, 1912, 1 year after it was started. Within a few days, it was loaded on a rail car and shipped to J.W. Jenkins & Sons Piano Store in Kansas City, Missouri. According to the Steinway & Sons records, it left its warehouse on August the 30th, 1912. After its week-long rail trip, the piano was placed in storage at Jenkins & Sons warehouse. In 1914, Mrs. Evadne Schock Mars placed an order with the J.W. Jenkins & Sons Company for a Model O Steinway piano. She had begun teaching piano in 1912 in the little town of Sterling, Kansas. She had an excellent upright piano, she said, but its action was too easy. She found that she wanted a piano with a harder action, and that is why she ordered a Steinway Studio Grand Piano. The financial arrangement with the company was that she pay $10 a month from her earnings as a piano teacher. At that time, she was charging 50 cents a lesson. When Mrs. Mars came to reside at the Presbyterian Manor Rest Home in Sterling, Kansas, she told a reporter that she believed that she had trained a little over 800 students during her long teaching career. Most of those students learned on this piano. One of those students was a farm girl with auburn hair. Now, she said she wanted me to say red hair, but I can't do that. I'll get in big trouble. So I'm saying auburn hair, okay? Her name was Carolyn McVeigh. You know her as Aunt Carolyn Hobbs. At this time, I would like for her to share her story concerning this piano and her years under her piano teacher, Mrs. Mars.
As you know, if you've seen Victor Borga, and that lofty soprano that started to sing and put her hand up, no, don't touch the piano. No hands on the piano. So I'll be careful, I promise. How special is this evening? It's just an evening of a lifetime. The Lord has been so good to us. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. This is a perfect picture of God's grace. One of those things that God has given us out of the good treasure of His heart, just because He loved us and wanted to do good for us. Because otherwise, who would ever dream that Grace Bible Church would ever have a baby grand piano, especially of this quality? We had no idea 40 years ago that we'd ever have a baby grand piano, but the Lord worked and allowed us to get the word that this piano was up for auction when Miss Schock had to go into the nursing home. She said she wasn't old and feeble, she just couldn't see. Anyway, she was quite a character. But anyway, it was so exciting, but what were the chances of us getting it? You know, how many other people would bid? We had no idea what a good bid would be, but Dr. Hobbs sent in the bid for $2,600. We didn't know if that was way too low. We didn't even know if it's a ballpark figure. You couldn't go to the internet now and see everything cost and value. So we waited, but it was wonderful. In a few weeks, we were advised that our bid had been accepted and that we could get the piano. But then it was in Kansas, how to get it here. So long story short, it was shipped to us on a big moving van. And as Mr. Wood said last Sunday, he and some of the dorm boys unloaded it, and so we had the piano here. And it has been a thrill, and it served wonderfully for all these years. About, I don't know exactly, 15 or 20 years ago when Miss Ransom was here, we had it over at Reynolds Music House, and they redid the soundboard and restrung the strings. But that was sort of a stopgap position, because it really needed, even then, a thorough rebuilding. But talk about big money. There again, how could we get the piano? Well, the Lord did that. How could we ever have it rebuilt? And now, by the good grace of the Lord and Mrs. Voigt and the old Peggers, they have supplied that need, and here sits the piano tonight. So we have so much to praise the Lord for. And I can't help but think that if they can see from their vantage point in heaven that Mrs. Voigt and Dr. Hobbs are standing there rejoicing with us. And as Pastor Brainerd has said, The Steinway is top of the line in pianos. If you want a piano and you want the best, you go for Steinway. So we're thankful. There's just none like it as far as craftsmanship and tone and quality. And as he said, our piano was built in 1912, so that makes it almost as old as I am. It belonged to my first piano teacher, Miss Evadna Schock. At that time, she didn't marry Mars till way later in life, after I was out of the picture. Anyway, she was an outstanding pianist and an outstanding pioneer piano teacher in Kansas. And she was highly respected as a musician. She bought the piano new in about 1914 and said she paid for it $10 a month out of her lesson money. And I've often wondered if she was still paying for it when I started teaching lessons in 1937. And then lessons had gone up. I mean, it was inflation to a dollar a lesson. Anyway, it stood before a large front window in the front room of her house. She had a big home, and it was there that I began taking lessons when I was 6 years old. Saturday was a big day for us because, not only because it was my lesson day, but it was going to town day. You'll have to understand that our farm was 5 miles from town, but in those days, 5 miles was a big distance, and it was dirt country roads and bad roads. You didn't just run down and go down to Winn-Dixie every time you thought you needed something. Everything you had to do in town was saved up for Saturday. And you didn't make extra trips, especially during the war years when tires and gas were rationed. And so, on Saturday, we saved up all our work. And we would go down cellar and load up the egg crates and haul them up the steps. An egg crate held 36 dozen eggs. So we had one always and several sometimes. And also the 10-gallon cream cans, which we kept all of that down cellar during the week where it was cool, and then brought it up and loaded it in the car and took it to town on Saturdays. Mama dropped me off at Miss Schock's house for my lesson, and she went on down to the creamery and sold the eggs and cream and went on to the grocery store and used the money to buy groceries and supplies for the coming week. So that was our Saturdays. But Miss Schock was an outstanding teacher. As I've grown up and looked back, I realize how fortunate I was to have had such a teacher. She was top in music training and in performance. She was a member of the National Piano Teachers Guild and gave us many good experiences. She was professional, but she was kind and always kept us trying to reach a little higher. She held her annual recitals in that front room of her home where the piano was. And so that room was filled with loyal mothers who had come to listen to their children's pain. Anyway, I thank the Lord for the foundation that she gave us. I studied with her for 11 years and then 1 year with Prof. Lawless at Sterling College before I went to Bob Jones and studied there. All that was so-called classical piano, you know, Mr. Bach and Brahms and Beethoven and those good guys. But my heart's desire was to use whatever talent or ability and training the Lord had given me for his service. Mm. And I trust over the years that that's been reflected through the church ministry and wherever else he's used us. Amen. And I may say that the music from this piano has also been a testimony because it has supported the message in song of Mr. Woods and the radio choir wherever the Children's Bible Club has gone. So people further than Milton have heard this piano and the music, and the Lord has used it in that way too, I believe. And we again thank the Lord that we just have to honestly seek his will, and he does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And as I say, it's all been from his good grace, not of works or not of ourselves, lest any man could boast. I'll tell the children these two things. I was thinking about Miss Schock. Two things she taught. She was good. you know, she just kept a steady hand. She always was dressed up, always wore a satin smock over whatever she had on, and I liked the feel of that. But anyway, I learned much from her. One thing was unspoken, and I look back and think, well, it's faithfulness that she had. I never remember in all those years her ever calling and saying, don't come today, I'm busy, or I'm sick, or I'm going to be gone, or anything. She was just there. I never thought anything about it. Ms. Shock was just there. I don't know when she did her other business, you know. So that was one. Now, sometimes I missed, I'm sorry to say. Sometimes, maybe for good reason, sometimes in the harvest season, because you didn't have time to go to town for a lesson because you were in the wheat fields. But sometimes, even then, Mom would come to the wheat field and get me out, take me home, and I'd get a bath, change into new work clothes. Excuse me, overalls and jeans and long sleeve shirts. But they were clean for my lesson, and then she'd drop me back off in the field when the lesson was over. Then another thing besides faithfulness that she taught us, she said this, be your own worst critic. She said, if you judge yourself before you get ready for competition and recitals and this stuff, if you judge yourself strictly, the judge wouldn't have to be so tough on you. Well, you know, that's a good advice. And that's good not just for music training. That's good for Christian service of any kind. If we would judge ourselves and be our own worst critics, the Lord might not have quite so much to judge us for at the judgment seat, or even along as he judges us day by day when we don't do exactly as we ought to do. So I'm thankful for the training that he gave us. And I thank the Lord for the piano and the gift that Mrs. Voigt and the O'Peggers have so graciously given. And it's going to be a blessing to all of us now and for years to come, I trust, till the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. And this new crop of pianists coming on are going to have experience on this piano. And I trust it'll all bring glory to the Lord's name.
Amen. Amen. Maturing with age. I'm not talking about Aunt Carolyn. Regular maintenance and tuning was done to this piano during the 62 years that Mrs. Mars owned the piano. Sometime in the early 1950s, a crack appeared in the soundboard, and repairs were made that changed the sound to some degree. However, all of the original parts were still in use at that time. In 1976, Mrs. Evadne Mars, now age 85, was forced to auction most of her earthly possessions. Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs received word that included in this auction was the now 64-year-old piano. By the good hand of our God and His glorious provision, Grace Bible Church won the bid for the Steinway piano at the price of $2,600. What a joy it was to have a grand piano. The Steinway was used for piano recitals, concerts, Christmas programs, and church services for 12 years. In 1988, a technician at Reynolds Music in Pensacola recommended the replacement of the dampers and hammers that had served for 74 years. Around $3,000 was invested at that time to make the necessary repairs. Time and use take their toll on man-made things. By 2007, the Steinway was showing its age. The outer finish was full of tiny little fissures. The strings were in need of replacement. The pin block, located at the very front of the piano that regulates the tightness of the strings, had several places where the pins could no longer be tightened, thus causing tuning issues. The pedals, located under the piano, made loud noises when used. A thumping sound accompanied our pianist as they tried to play delicate musical pieces due to the long worn-out parts in the chamber. Matter of fact, one of the young ladies that was practicing this week said, I don't hear it. Said, hear what? I don't hear the thumping noise. It was time for a much-needed restoration. Lud and Nancy O'Pager approached me with an offer that seemed almost unbelievable at the time. They wanted to fund the restoration of the piano using funds from Mrs. Grace Voigt's estate. In addition, Mrs. Voigt's cousin, Grace Ryan of LaGrange Park, Illinois, offered to make a donation in memory of Mrs. Voigt to purchase a new Steinway bench to complement the restored piano. After consulting with Mr. Nilo Porras, resident Steinway dealer and specialist with Reynolds Music in Pensacola, it was determined that the piano was indeed worthy of restoration. Contact was made with the C.A. Gears Piano Company, Incorporated in Cleves, Ohio, and the piano left us in October of 2007 for yet another journey. After a year and a half of restoration, the Steinway was returned to us on April the 3rd, 2009. There are a few changes that have been made to the piano. A short stick and catch has been added to allow the piano lid to be lowered for accompanying soloists. A brand new soundboard adorns the rim. New silver-plated wheels now are set in the legs, and all the hinges and locking mechanisms were either replaced or silver-plated. The ivory keys that served for 95 years were removed because of chipping and yellowing, and the patented European spruce, chip-proof, stain-resistant white keys are now in place. The original black ebony keys were kept, as there is plenty of life remaining in them. The pedal chamber is original, however, all of the pedals and mechanisms have been replaced. What a joy it is tonight to have our piano back and to have Mrs. Hobbs here to play it. This is a historic night for our Steinway piano because with new strings, hammers, and pedals, this piano is equipped to carry forth the songs of Zion for another century if the Lord tarries. I close with reading Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. May our Lord be pleased to keep us from the sounds and noise of the world, the flesh, and the devil, in order that we may glorify our Father which is in heaven, with music and singing that pleases Him. I would like for Mrs. Hobbs to play a hymn at this time, and then I'm going to ask Mr. O'Pager to come forward. I have a presentation that I would like to make, and then Mr. O'Pager will lead us in a prayer of dedication for the Steinway piano. Mrs. Hobbs?
Well, when Pastor Brainerd said tonight I should play a tune, I don't know. I don't want to do something very big because you've heard me for 940 years already. But I was saved when I was 8 years old in a little country church in Kansas. And now for soon be 70 years, I've known the Lord and walked with Him, and I've found in Him the true haven of rest. And I know if you know Him tonight, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus truly is our haven of rest. And if you're here without knowing Him, then I beg you please to do what this song says. Come to the Savior and come enter the haven of rest. And then for the children, just a couple of choruses. Thank you.
I'm going to ask at this time if Mr. and Mrs. Opager would please come forward. We want to make a presentation of a plaque in memory of Grace and Rudolph Voigt and the gift that was made to the church so that this piano could be restored. This particular plaque here that I'm going to read in just a moment will be placed near the piano over here so that we'll have a record of the information about how old it is and its restoration and all the interesting facts that are pertained therein. It says, Steinway Piano. This beautifully restored Steinway & Sons Incorporated 1912 Model O Studio Grand Piano is dedicated to the memory of Grace and Rudolph Voigt. Mrs. Voigt loved to hear Mrs. Carolyn Hobbs play the great hymns of the faith on this piano. Upon Mrs. Voigt's passing, funds from her estate were provided by her daughter and son-in-law, Nancy and Ludwig Opager, to Grace Bible Church for the purpose of restoring this wonderful instrument. Mrs. Voigt's beloved cousin, Grace Ryan, provided funds for the piano bench. The restoration was completed in March of 2009 by the C.A. Gears Piano Company, Incorporated of Cleves, Ohio. As a child, Mrs. Carolyn Hobbs took piano lessons on this very piano from the original owner, Mrs. Evadne Shock Mars of Sterling, Kansas. The then Miss Shock purchased the piano in 1914 from J.W. Jenkins & Sons, Kansas City, Missouri. Grace Bible Church purchased the piano at the auction of her estate in 1976. We want to present this to you to show here in the church of your gift and appreciation for the money that was provided so that we could restore the piano.
We are so blessed by this dedication, this ceremony that we've had tonight, and just listening to the output of the piano was such a blessing to us. I know that Mrs. Voigt would be thrilled that this is happening out of her resources. You know, when you're 92 years old, there's a little bit of hard of hearing, and when you're 92 years old, everybody mumbles. But the piano didn't mumble to her, and she heard the piano clearly, and she really enjoyed the music from Mrs. Hobbs and this beautiful piano, and we're certainly glad that in her name that it's been restored, and it's good for another 100 years, we trust, if the Lord gives us that much time. But I hope that after the service you'll be able to come up and look inside. It's just a beautiful sight to see the restoration, the insides and the keys and the silver and all the beautiful things that they've done to that piano. And we're very thankful that that it will be used for God's glory. You know, one of the things that hit me also in this time was this verse in Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And you know, a lot of times we say, goodness, that's a very expensive piano, and Mrs. Hobbs had on her heart that desire, though, that it continue. And I think that she's expressed also, how is this going to come about? We certainly can't have this come about by our means, but one thing that Mrs. Hobbs does, she delights herself in the Lord, and he brought about the desires of your heart, and we're thankful for that. So let's have a prayer of dedication and give this piano to the Lord for his use and for his service. Father, we are so thankful that we've had this time together to ponder your goodness to us, your grace to us. We're thankful, Father, that you've given us the gift of music. But like any gift, Father, there's a responsibility that we have to use that gift in the proper and the right way. And Lord, we're so thankful that this church has a heritage of good music. None of us, I believe, can go from here ashamed of the music that we've had in our church. And we thank you so much for that heritage. And Lord, we don't want to turn our back on that. We want that to continue. We want to be able to sing these wonderful songs of the faith. We want to hear our instruments play
a Christ-honoring music. And we pray, Father, that you would help us as a church to remember that heritage. And we thank you, Father, for this reminder that we'll have on the wall next to this piano that will help us to continue that heritage of good music. And we pray that this piano might be used for that purpose, that Christ would be honored by all the notes that come from this, the arrangement of the notes, how well they're played, how loud they're played, how lightly they're played. And we pray, Father, that you'd receive all the honor and the glory and the praise that we can from our voices that are in tune with this piano. Do bless us now, Father, as we have this time of reception afterwards and enjoy this celebration, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.